Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And with Leonard Lopate this afternoon, a former investment banker describes how contagion has ruined the global economy and why the economic crisis could change our ways, change our lives in ways we might be afraid to admit. So more on that, though this guest I don't think will sound a whole lot like Peter Schiff, with Leonard at noon on WNYC. Now, all this month we're talking about debt with Anya Kamenetz, author of Generation Debt, writer for Fast Company, blogger at The Narrow Bridge, her own blog, and Yahoo Finance, where she casts a wide media net. She's discussing issues of debt, credit, and loans. Some of you will recall that Anya joined us last October at our Hofstra University event to discuss questions of student loan debt. It was a very helpful discussion for both the students in the room and many of you. But, of course, things keep changing in the world of finance, seem to change every day. And anything having to do with banking looks a lot different than it did in October. So today we bring Anya back to once again focus on questions of student loans and student loan debt. Hey, Anya, welcome back for this week's edition.
Hey, Brian. Thanks so much for having me back.
Anya Kamenetz coming on once a week through the month of February, and our phones are open. People are already calling for you. Questions about getting student loans or paying back student loans, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. So did you hear the Treasury Secretary yesterday outline how the government is going to provide direct assistance to many Americans? Was there something in there that addresses the student loan world?
Well, you know, I guess a lot of people are saying that they're a little bit disappointed with the details here, and I think that's true for student borrowers as well, because while there is a lot of money going to the student lenders, which is serving as a backstop sort of for the student loan market, there's not any relief really going directly to borrowers.
Not any relief going directly to borrowers. But I read that well, you've been writing on your blog, but most news outlets have missed this, I think, that the Treasury Department and the Fed have authorized a large amount of money for the student loan industry outside of the $800 billion bailout plan. What do you know?
That's right. So there's two you know, the Education Department and the federal government in general is heavily involved in financing education, including the loans that are made by lenders. And so the Education Department got involved last fall and passed a very quick law called the Ensuring Continued Access to Student Loans Act. And basically what that means is that the Treasury Department, via the Education Department, is prepared to be the buyer of last resort for these loans to take them off the balance sheets of banks. And the Education Department is willing to give an extra $60 billion, which is basically the size of the student loan market outstanding, to repurchase these loans if lenders can't get capital to make more loans.
And what are the implications of that?
Well, basically what it means is it's a bailout going to lenders, and it's a way to ensure, you know, so the student loan market, just to back up a little bit, it was heavily, heavily securitized, just like the mortgage market and the credit card market. Loans were being repackaged, they were being resold, and it was creating more demand for student loans, and that was why you saw this tremendous, tremendous growth in the private student loan market outside of the federal student loans, and those were growing the last few years, growing about 27% a year.
And you don't like the private student loan market, right?
Well, private student loans, they're tricky because obviously they are bridging the financing gap. And so as tuition gets higher and higher, they are, making up the difference for a lot of students. But they're really not that different from putting college on your credit card. I mean, what you've got is very high interest rates, you know, interest rates starting at 8% and going up to 15 or even 20%. And the terms are not as friendly to students as many of the federal student loans.
So how should people shop around right now? If lots of colleges have these deals with private lenders, which have come to light recently, and, you know, it's a scandal, really, when colleges wind up pushing their students into higher interest loans than they might otherwise be getting, to what extent can you exploit the free market in terms of finding the right provider?
Well, so just to be totally clear, you can get, and this is incredibly confusing all the time, but you can get, you know, federal family education loans or Stafford loans. These are government-backed student loans, and you can get them from lenders such as Sallie Mae, but they still are a federal loan.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that it should be your very first resort. You should always make sure you're maximizing your federal student loans before you go to any alternative student lender. And you can get rates by shopping around online. You can look on Bankrate for better rates. But the most important thing is to make sure that you're maximizing your federal eligibility. And that includes, by the way, parental plus loans.
Dan in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Dan.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Well, I would like to ask your guest to assess my situation. I am a graduate student at MFA from Columbia. I'm currently in deferment on a fair amount of federal loans, and I have some private loans that are coming very soon. I was fortunate enough, or unfortunate enough, depending on how you look at it, to take out a loan that's, let's say, over $10,000 before the economy took a downturn. This is a private loan based on a LIBOR. It is currently sitting in a CD that's collecting 4%. My interest is about 5% on that loan. I'm curious. Should I just immediately pay down as much as I can, or is it worth it in this economy to hold on to that low interest rate and make maybe in case something bad happens or in case I could use that money for better?
So you invested your student loan?
Well, I'm just putting it in a place to offset the interest as much as possible right now, and this,
uh-huh.
this is my private loan. It was for. It was the difference that left over from a research project.
I see. I mean, my instinct would be to tell you to try to pay it down because I know that interest rates are headed down and they may be very low for a while. So, that would be my general instinct.
Dan, good luck. Anya, as you know, we've launched a project where we're asking folks to report on their uncommon economic indicators, and thank you for linking to it on your blog. Christian in Upper Manhattan wrote in to say, quote, our department at Columbia University has received three times as many applications for a master's and PhD program than last year. More and more students are considering grad school since there are so few jobs available, unquote. So from the perspective of where you sit studying debt, is this a good idea to go back to grad school and potentially take on a fair amount of student loan debt as a hedge against the future economy and your own job prospects?
I'm just going to say, speaking statistically, if you get a master's degree in the humanities, it actually statistically lowers your earning potential. So a master's degree in the humanities, and to some extent a PhD in the humanities, when you factor in the amount of time that you spend in the program, it's not a good economic bet long term. And, of course, that is multiplied if you are taking out major loans for that degree. So, you know, while this has been a traditional safe haven and people are looking at it as a way to, you know, maybe make a change they've been considering or something they really want to do, there's a limited number of degrees, technical degrees, engineering degrees, that really can promise, you know, a significant boost in your income to offset that debt.
And I guess in every field, there must be guides out there for crunching the numbers to determine what kind of student loan debt is going to actually wind up benefiting you in the long run or just hobbling you in the long run.
Absolutely. I mean, a common rule of thumb is to say, you know, compare your total debt to your starting salary. So for an average bachelor's degree person, that would be, you know, $35,000 is the tipping point at which you should maybe reconsider that degree.
In fact, Karen from our website writes, our son is attending a community college for the first 2 years of his 4-year degree. It's cheap. He will transfer to a 4-year college for the final 2 years. Many families are doing this to save money on tuition and thereby reduce the amount of their child's student loans. Most 4-year colleges accept transfer students. That's how Obama got into Columbia. there we go. Jack in Morris Plains, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jack.
Hi, Brian. I love your show. I have a question that's a little out of the norm. I have a nephew I'm co-signed for $30,000 worth of student loans. And I was told that after he graduated, he was going to be able to consolidate those loans and get me off as a co-signer. He's graduated. And his employment situation isn't as good as we hoped. He's made a couple of late payments. I'm wondering, is there any possibility of any of these consolidation programs working nowadays, now that I can get him off my cosign?
Loan consolidation should still be available. One possibility you might want to look into is consolidating into the direct loan program, which is direct loans come directly from the federal government, from the education department, and they have a lot of better policies for students than the standard lender loans.
So who would you call there to find out about that?
If you look up direct loans, and they have a website that's all about consolidating into the direct loan program.
All right, I'll try that. Thank you very much.
Jack,
sure.
Thank you. Another question about lingering debt from JL on our message board. This says, I have $225,000 in student loan debt. My income is about $20,000 per year. This must be one of those humanities students. I haven't been able to pay it. I'm 39. Interest accrues. I enrolled in the federal Ford program that allows me to defer payments, and after 25 years, I will be forgiven the loan, but will have to claim it as taxable income. I can't even get married because then my husband would become responsible for the debt. Given what has transpired in recent months, fraud, bailouts, etc., what about something for those of us who are desperate for an education but didn't have family or other support, so we chose loans, and we also happened to choose professions in which the earning potential is low? Anything possible from the government for them?
Well, I'm really happy that you mentioned this. Obviously, this is a tragic and too common situation, but there is help. In July, there will be a new program that's going into effect that's called Income Contingent Repayment. And what that basically means is, it's income-based repayment. Income-based repayment is allowing people to lower their loan payments to an amount that is making sense with their income. And so, you know, it depends on the total amount of loans that you have, but it's basically allowing you to lower it to a reasonable amount. You know, they're not publicizing it all over the place, but there is a great site called IBRinfo.org. So IBR for income-based repayment, and it's giving the information on that. There's also a separate program, which is public service loan forgiveness, and they're still releasing the details on that. But it's going to be for people who are working for the government, working for nonprofit organizations, and it's going to be a loan forgiveness program as well.
And as we're hearing from our listeners, it's obvious that people aren't grappling with student loan debt by itself. It's combined with credit card debt, home payments, other financial burdens. How do you prioritize? Where should you put student loan repayments in the priority of trying to get yourself out of debt?
Well, what stands out with student loans is that there's no bankruptcy protection on student loans. And so, you know, you were really in trouble when you default on a student loan because they have essentially the full force of the federal government behind them in order to collect those loans. And there's been cases in which, you know, they've seized people's Social Security payments, their federal disaster relief payments. They've seized people's wages without even taking them to court. So the power right now of student loan companies, and that includes private loans, by the way, the power of student loan companies to get your money really makes them creditors to contend with. I would say that they should be, it's a priority, not that you pay them off, you know, as quickly as possible. You might want to get explore deferments, but you definitely want to make sure you're in good standing.
Anya Kamenetz, the author of the book Generation Debt, a writer for Fast Company. Her own blog is The Narrow Bridge, and she also does a Generation Debt blog at Yahoo Finance. And Anya will continue to join us once a week through the month of February to talk about various issues regarding both the policy and the personal side of debt. Anya, you were good enough after last week's show to answer some of the leftover questions on your blog, and we've got a ton of them this week on our webpage again that we're not being able to get to. So maybe you'll be generous enough again to pick up a few of the cues and put it on the narrow bridge.
Sure thing, absolutely.
And we'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, sounds good.
Anya Kamenetz joining us to talk about debt once a week through the month of February. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.